Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. Good to be able to worship the Lord together. And as Rick was sharing earlier, that we go through all sorts of different experiences in our lives. We are on mountaintops at times. We're in valleys other times. But God is always on the throne. And we hold on to Him. God is great. And every breath that we take is a gift from Him. It is, He sustains us. He carries us. He loves us. And we think about God as creator. We think about Him as the great God who is above all and over all and through all and in all. And yet, He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. What an amazing God we have. We worship Him. We praise Him. As I was working at the school bus lot this week, I was wiping down seats of buses. And since no one else was in the bus helping me with that, I had my phone with my songs on it. And I was playing a couple of albums that I have had over the years. One of them was an album by Mercy Me. It has all sorts of different songs. One of them is about Happy Dance, so everything's really happy in that one. And then another song is Even If. And that has been such a precious song to me and to many people. But even if God doesn't answer the prayer the way we ask it, still we will trust in Him. We will trust in Him because He loves us and cares for us. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your greatness. We thank You for Your holiness. We thank You for that sense of awe that we have, that You are the great and mighty God. And it amazes us, Lord, that with Your greatness and Your holiness, that You would love us. But You have demonstrated that love by giving Your Son, our Savior, Jesus, to pay the price for our sins so that we could become a part of Your family, that we could be forgiven, that we could be Yours forever. Lord, we are amazed, we are humbled, we are thrilled to know Your love for us. Lord, bless us this day as we give ourselves to You. In the precious, wonderful, matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. For those who are dads, it's a wonderful privilege to be a dad. And we honor our fathers and we thank you for your instruction and influence. In the context of racial unrest in our nation, I've remembered conversations with my dad back in the 60s when I was an elementary student and how he talked to us about our relationships to black people, that we were to treat everyone with respect and that we weren't to use certain words. I remember that very specifically being stated, and also that we were to treat everyone as an equal. And I can remember that. There are different things that you might remember that your dad said to you at different times or maybe that you did with your dad that really come back. And that was a special moment. And it seemed to come back to me when we're hearing about all the unrest in our nation. Then a couple of weeks ago, my daughter sent me a message on Facebook that she was remembering about the Sunday off, when I, as a pastor, had a Sunday off, and I took our family to an AME church, an African Methodist Episcopal Church. It was a friend that was the pastor was a friend of mine, and we went to that. And I just wanted to go and be there, and I didn't realize what it meant to my daughter, but she said, this was a pivotal moment for me. And she's saying that in the context of what's going on now. So dads, you don't know when something that you do may be pivotal for your children. But live your life as an example and point your children to Jesus. Not everyone has happy memories or a good relationship with their father. And a day like today can be hard emotionally. as we pray for our fathers. We pray also for those who have suffered difficult experiences and some who've even lived without a father, whether it's through death or for some other reason, absentee father. Yesterday was Man Up Pittsburgh that Ed Glover and the Urban Impact Foundation put together. Coach Mike Tomlin of the Steelers, he and Ed Glover put this together 8 years ago. This was the eighth one. This one was online. So as we were watching it yesterday, Coach Mike Tomlin talked about the importance of men who play key roles in his life in the absence of a father. For his dad died when he was 1 year old, and then he lived with his grandparents for a while, then you know, moving different things. But talked about the men who had played an important role, and he called them surrogate fathers, people who sort of stood in. People who made a difference, men who made a difference in his life. And men, we have the opportunity to do that with younger folks, to be that dad that maybe they haven't had or have that influence that they need. Have a positive influence. So we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for fathers. We're going to pray for those who have been without fathers. And then as we close the prayer, I'll say, and we pray this in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer that starts out, Our Father. All right, let's pray. Lord, we are grateful to you for the blessing of fathers, especially those fathers who have taught us, who have supported us, who have cared for us, who have sought to be positive influences for us. And Lord, being a dad can be a difficult thing at times. And we pray for wisdom and insight for the dads to be able to make good decisions. The scriptures tell us not to provoke our children to wrath, but to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, we take that responsibility very seriously, those of faith. And we pray, Lord, that you would help all dads to recognize the blessing that they have in their family through their children and their wives, and that they would give themselves to be good fathers. Lord, we know that there are some who have experienced great loss because their fathers have been absent or neglectful and sometimes abusive. Lord, we pray for those folks who've gone through those difficult times, and we pray for encouragement. We pray for strength. And we pray, Lord, for people who will stand in and bridge the gap, fill the gap. People like Coach Tomlin had in his life who became like surrogate fathers. I think of the good relationship I have with my dad, but also that there were other men who invested in me, in my life. Men who sought to make a difference for me. I think especially of youth group sponsors when I was a teenager and how we became like family to them and they to us. Lord, we thank you for them, and we do pray that you will help all of us to seek to be the men and women of God that you call us to be, that can make a difference in the lives of others around us. People who have missed out on loving, caring, parenting, that we could be an influence to help point them to positive ways of life, good character, and of course to our Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will bless us. And on this Father's Day, we recognize you, our Heavenly Father. We honor you, we love you, we thank you for your great love for us. We pray this in the name of him who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord's Prayer is a beautiful prayer that Jesus invited his disciples to use as a pattern for prayer. In the millennia since Jesus gave this prayer to the disciples, it has become part and parcel of the Christian experience. I don't use it every Sunday. Obviously, you who've been here when I've been preaching, we haven't always prayed this. This is the first time, I think, in the year that I've been here off and on. But as we think about it, it's something that most of us have had in our past, especially if we've been in the church a long time. The church I grew up in, it was a part of every Sunday, so that we knew it frontwards, backwards. We knew the prayer, but it became to me as a kid something that was just sort of a memorized piece. It was rote, and I just would pray it and get through. It didn't come real to me until later in life. So sometimes we can think of it as a little bit formal. When we think of the Lord's Prayer as sort of the Our Father, if you came up in a Catholic tradition, they would say, we'll say the Our Father, and they're talking about the Lord's Prayer, or thinking about it in formal settings. Most of the time when I use the Lord's Prayer now, it's in funeral services, and it's a comforting prayer and something that we can do together. I think I need to use it more often. But in Jesus' day, this prayer was quite radical. It wasn't formal. It was radical. Our Father. Think about what we're saying. Our Father. To think about calling God Father in the day that Jesus lived was almost blasphemous. They wouldn't even say the name of God because the name of God was so holy they didn't want to mispronounce it or somehow use it as a curse, so they just wouldn't say the name. They would substitute another name. In his commentary, James Montgomery Boyce says that whenever the word Jehovah appeared in the sacred text, the vowel pointing for the word Adonai, which means Lord, was substituted for the vowel pointing of the divine name. This was to remind readers to say Adonai instead of Jehovah, which is what they did. God was considered to be too transcendent, or too other, too above us, to be directly addressed. And his name was considered too holy to be on human lips. So the distance between God and man continued to grow wider. This is the context in which Jesus walked. When the people of his day would not say God is our Father, but Jesus says God is his Father. And John 5 verse 18 says, "For this reason they," meaning the Jewish leaders, "tried all the more to kill Jesus, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath," meaning he was healing people on the Sabbath, "but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." Calling God Father not only seemed to bring God down to our context, but it made us equal with God, at least for Jesus. So they recognized a call to divinity when Jesus said, "God is my Father." But not only that, Jesus invites us to pray to God as our Father. Jesus invites us into a radical, personal relationship with God. Tony Evans, in his commentary, says, "Opening with our Father in heaven reminds us that when Christians pray, they're addressing their daddy, their heavenly Father. Some people have had bad fathers and say they can't relate to God as Father. But we are not to measure our heavenly Father by the standard of our earthly ones. Rather, we are to measure our earthly fathers by the standard of our heavenly Father who is perfect." To some, Tony Evans' use of the term daddy may seem to be too informal, but the term is one of relationship, a personal relationship, an intimate relationship. And in Jesus' day, praying our Father would seem to many of the people around that that was too informal. Jesus invites us into that radical personal relationship with God. And that's amazing. Just think of living among a people who would say, we can't even say the name of God because he is so holy. He is so other. We can hope and dream of God's care, and he's the creator, but we can't know him. We can't have a personal relationship with him. And then to say, pray, our Father in heaven. Wow. Personal relationship. Personal worship was a key theme in the New Testament. We're going to take a brief look at some New Testament scripture passages this morning. I have about four of them. If you're really fast, you can find them. If not, you could write them down on our paper where it says sermon notes so that you can look at them later. All right? So this first one is John 1:12. If you ever had an opportunity to counsel at a Billy Graham crusade, you had this as one of your memorized verses. Yet to all who did receive him, meaning to receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To become children of God. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you were sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. This will sound a little bit familiar, similar to what we had in Galatians 4. That term, Abba, Father, shows up again. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We're no longer a slave to fear, we sang. Here we had it right in our verse. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship through that adoption. Amazing, amazing. We cry out to him by him, Abba, Father. And then in the context of regarding God as the personal heavenly Father, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 23 to 27. I don't remember the exact date that I preached on this passage here, but it may have been Father's Day a year ago. I'm not sure. But John 16, verses 23 to 27. In that day, Jesus is speaking, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. The Father himself loves you. He loves Jesus. Well, who wouldn't, right? But he loves you. He loves me. Amazing, amazing. This is talking about a personal God and a personal relationship with God. Radical thinking in the day in which Jesus lived. And it's really radical thinking even in our day. Now, in a lot of our songs that we sing that are beautiful songs, it's a lot about relationship with God, a lot about personal, almost as if it's only about us individually and not about the whole world. But it's both and. For God so loved the world, and he loves you. Not just the whole world, but also us. Let's dive a little more deeply into this personal understanding of God as our Father. Jesus invites us to pray to God, saying, "Our Father in heaven." The Spirit of Jesus adopts us into God's family, and through the Spirit, we cry out to God as Abba, Father. Stuart Briscoe's commentary says that this word, Abba, was in common usage in our Lord's time and was, in fact, the word he used to address his Father in his agonizing prayer in Gethsemane. Remember when he prays, "Lord, let this cup pass from me," he says, "Father," and it's this word, Abba. That this word, which Jews did not use to address God, became a common word in the vocabulary of the Christian church, is an indication that the early believers knew it was the Lord's affectionate form of address for his Father, and they adopted it for themselves because they were adopted into a position of intimacy with God. To pray Abba is therefore to express unashamedly and joyfully an endearment born of love. Like Tony Evans said, Daddy. That's Abba, Daddy. It's a term of endearment. Boyce's commentary speaks of our adoption as children of God. He says, "I have spoken of adoption as giving the adopted one a new status. But new status may not be the best description of what happens. What is really involved is a set of new relationships. New relationships to other people, both believers and unbelievers, but above all, a new relationship with God. When we speak of salvation as justification, we are thinking of God as our judge. That is a remote and somewhat grim relationship. When we think of regeneration, we are thinking of God as creator. That too is remote. But when we think of adoption, we are thinking of God as our Father, which denotes a far closer relationship. That is why the apostle says that the Spirit of adoption causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. Relationship. To have a personal relationship. To know and relate to another person closely. With personal knowledge and understanding. To really get to know someone. There was a post this last Monday on Facebook by the wife of an African-American state trooper from the state of Illinois. Along with several pictures of her husband, the wife wrote this. "This is Dwayne, my hubs. He loves to grill and smoke meat, play video games with his friends, and take good care of his grass like it's his newborn. He has two amazing kids, Kay and C, and an amazing wife." I'm not biased, she says. "Huh. Dwayne is a 6-time record-holding college athlete and has an amazing way of reeling people in with his infectious personality, which I'm pretty sure is how he got me to stick around. He tells really bad dad jokes and sings to our cats and I. He also loves dancing to just about every beat that comes on just to make me laugh. Dwayne loves his job. He is able to make connections in the community utilizing his own story of the come up to influence and show people that you don't have to be a statistic. You can be so much more. He has been dubbed officer friendly by many, and people have told me that they can see him across I-94 just by his smile. His current role in the Illinois State Police gives him unique opportunities to utilize his amazing personality to connect with people from all walks of life in the community to make a difference. Yesterday, people who have no idea who Dwayne is told him they hated him. They hoped he dies, that his family dies. They called him a traitor. They called him every name in the book. They threw things at him, kicked him, punched him. Yet my amazing husband came home to me yesterday exhausted, but still the same old Dwayne. You guys who know him know exactly what I'm talking about. He told me, "Babe, they just don't know me." I held on to that the whole time. Sometimes I feel like my husband is too good for this world. What happened in Minneapolis is a senseless and terrible tragedy. We are disgusted by it. No good cop wants this. If I had one wish, it would be that before you hate my husband, you realize the amount of good he is doing for the community, how much he cares about the citizens of Illinois, and how seriously he takes his oath. Beyond that, he is not just a badge. He is a human, a husband, a father, a son, a brother, and a friend. And it was signed Jessica, a trooper's wife. Relationship. We can think about people, we can even know facts about people, but until we know the people themselves, we can misjudge them or prejudge them. Prejudge, prejudice. We can act with prejudice toward people just thinking this is what they're like even if we don't know them. The trooper's wife was reminding people that her Dwayne was a person, a wonderful person at that. I'd like to pause for a moment and pray. I want to pray for police officers, most of whom really do a fantastic job. But they have a difficult job, a dangerous job, and at this point, very unappreciated job. We don't want to pray that we close our eyes to abuse. Certainly there's no room for abuse in police protection. But we need to pray for those who are giving of themselves. Let's pray. Lord, as we think about this illustration of this man named Dwayne, recognizing that he is one of many, many, many police officers who give themselves to make a difference in other people's lives, who are willing to stand together with others when they're going through difficult times, who, when they see someone broken down on the road and they stop, not to cause any fear but to protect. Lord, it is such a blessing. Lord, when we think about those who are officers who have been on the front lines when it comes to the protests that have gone on, that they are there to protect those who are protesting, to give them the opportunity to be able to protest, but also, Lord, to protect property owners as well. Lord, they're standing in the middle. And sometimes the people do not appreciate and they take it out on them because of the officers who have done horrible things. So, Lord, we don't just close a blind eye to abuses. We pray that you would root out abuses, that you would bring about the reforms that are necessary in our policing. But at the same time, we think about all these officers who, many of whom are just ready to give it up because people do not respect or appreciate them anymore. We pray for your help. We pray for encouragement. We pray for courage. We pray for your help. Lord, and situations where people have felt as if they've been treated as subhuman by police officers, we pray for mercy. We pray for reform. We pray, Lord, for intervention. We pray that good officers will stand up and stand against such abuse. We pray for your help and direction. Lord, we pray for your mercy. Help us to live for you and help us to show love and care and appreciation one for another. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. We're thinking about relationship. another story, this from last Sunday. Last Sunday, I wasn't called on to preach anywhere. So with all the things going on, I wanted to go again to an African-American church. So Susan and I went to a church in Newcastle where one of my friends, African-American pastor, pastors. And as we were going there, I had asked him the service times. He knew we were coming. There's a junior usher. They had a junior usher who met us at the door. It's a little bit more formal in terms of going into the church than what we had this morning, because he came, he introduced himself and said, "Welcome to," and he said the name of the church, said, "My name is this," and then he held up a thermometer and checked our temperatures before we could go in. So they were being careful. We had to wear masks, and then also they checked our temperatures before we came in. And this young junior usher had been clued in by the pastor that we were coming, and he recognized us because he had been at Awana, where I had been a part of the transportation earlier, a couple years ago. And this young man ushered us to a pew that was not of our choosing. In other words, we couldn't just sit anywhere. We were being guests, and we were brought up front. And we had sat in the second row, and the only person who sits in front is the pastor and his wife. So we were there. And, of course, he welcomed us to the service. And when they had a prayer time, they invited anybody who wanted to come up to the altar and pray. And as the people came up, and quite a few from the congregation did, they all had their mask on. They weren't quite 6 feet apart because there were too many to fit up there in that way, but they were all there, and the pastor said, "Pastor Phil, come on up to the platform, up with him on the platform, and with Susan," and then as we're there, and he said something about being thankful that we had come, and then that we were going to pray, and he said, "If you have some words, I know it's last second, but you're a pastor, you can share." So he invited me to say something to the congregation, and then when I was done, I was given him the mic, said, "No, lead us in prayer now." But given a place of honor together with Pastor David. And as we got to do that, and then went on with the service, a great message that he shared with us. Then later in the afternoon, I went to a rally against racism in Newcastle that Pastor David had organized along with some others. And there were about 130 people there, the newspaper reported. And a number of white pastors and black pastors who all said a few words and prayed, and we sang and we worshiped for 2 hours. It was a tremendous time. But as Pastor David, who was being the MC of the event, was talking, he mentioned that Susan and I had been at the service this morning at their church. And he said, "That's what we really need to do, to get to know each other, to hear each other, to be a part with each other, to have relationship." And I was sort of blown away that he would mention that. But it was that we can get to know each other, not just be thinking, well, that person thinks this or that person thinks that, but to get to know each other some. To know each other, to have relationship. Think about it for yourself. You want people to care about you, to know you, to not just know you as a number. I remember back in my high school days when they started talking about you're only going to be known by a number, and about Social Security number, and that's what you'll be known. And for a long time, and most of the official documents, you had to have your Social Security number on everything, and they would let everybody know what your number was. Now they're more careful. But still, we're more than a number. We're more than a statistic. We are people. And we want people to know us or to care for us. We want to be valued. We're not just a person, but a valued person that is cared about. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And again, to as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to become a part of the family, to be adopted. And by the Spirit of God, we cry out, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy, Dad, our Father, a personal relationship with our loving Father. This is the invitation of Jesus, to have a personal relationship with the God of glory, a personal relationship with Jesus and his Father, our Father in heaven. When I was in high school, some of my church friends started talking a lot about having a personal relationship with Jesus. I grew up in a church where we talked about knowing Jesus, believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, but we didn't talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And so it sounded a little bit odd to me, a little strange. I believed in Jesus as my Savior, but I didn't understand that I could know him, that I could have relationship with him. I kept listening to the conversations with these friends, and I read the Gospels more closely, and I sought to know Jesus. Jesus was my Savior, and he became a personal friend through daily interaction with his Word and through prayer. I realized that through faith in him, I had become part of the family, that I was blood related to Jesus. No, not because of the red blood, but his blood shed for me on the cross of Calvary. Through his blood, I become a part of his family. I realized that through faith in him, I was part of the family. I recognized that, as Billy Graham had said many times in his crusades, that you can substitute your name in there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and then put, for God so loved Philip, for God so loved Rick, for God so loved Susan, for God so loved, and put your name there, that he gave his one and only son. It's not that he died only for you, but he would have. He loves us. It's a personal relationship. He died to have a relationship with me, a relationship with you. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you invite us to personal relationship with you and with the Father, with the Spirit. You paid the price so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be adopted into your family, to be heirs with Jesus, co-heirs with Christ, that you would be our brother. It just boggles our minds that you would want this kind of relationship with us. Lord, draw us by your Spirit. Draw us now into your presence, into relationship with you, that we will grow to know you better, and that we will rejoice in relationship, that you care for us and you want to know all about us. You do know all about us, and yet you want us to talk to you about what we're going through, what we're experiencing, and to find out from you how we should respond, how we should react. To know that you are always there with us, even when we are going through difficult times. When we feel as if you're far away, still you are there with us. Help us to cry out to you. Help us to hold on to you. Help us to cry out by the Spirit, Abba, Daddy, Dad, Father. Do you know Jesus? Have you placed your faith in him? Have you chosen to believe? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? That's the way to develop that relationship, to begin that relationship, and then to develop it more as you read his word, the Bible, as you pray, as you get together with other believers and learn what it is to love Jesus with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. Lord, we pray for each one here, that you would draw each one tug at their hearts to say yes to Jesus, yes to being a part of your family, yes to knowing you, yes to your forgiveness and love. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. On this Father's Day, we do honor our fathers and we're thankful for them. And as Tony Evans said, not all of us have good relationships with our earthly fathers, so it's sometimes difficult to think lovingly about God as our Heavenly Father. But God is greater than all the earthly fathers combined and all that they will ever be. His love is great. It is holy and personal. He reaches out to you with open arms. Run into his embrace. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll close our service with a prayer of blessing. Oh Lord God, we love you. Help us to come to know you better and better. Help us to go out from this place, not leaving you, but knowing that you will go with us in your grace, mercy, and peace by your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, live within us by your Spirit. May our bodies, may our lives be temples of your Holy Spirit, even as you have declared that they are, but may we willingly, knowingly give ourselves to you that you might live in and through us and that we might come to know you in an ever-growing, deeper, intimate knowledge, basking and celebrating in your love. In your precious name we pray. Amen.